man. You know, the story of Balaam is ultimately a tragedy. But just like so many, just if you were watching an opera that they proclaim a tragedy, and so many stories, there are parts that are comical in it. And this, if it wasn't so horrible, it'd actually be hilarious. In some ways, it's still comical. And as a kid, I remember reading this story. And if you're familiar with the story, there's some parts that are just, I mean, they're just funny. There's funny. God is the creator of our emotions. He designed us. God has a sense of humor. God gets angry. God has emotions. That's why we have emotions. We're created in his image. And this is a trip, but it's life. That's why I believe the Bible, because this is how real life is. There are some things, you know, you shouldn't laugh at. It's not really politically correct, which is a misnomer in and of itself, but you know, you wouldn't, but you do, because it's comical. And this dude Balaam was just a wicked, evil man who ended up meeting a wicked, horrible end, which happens to wicked, evil people. Most of them who, if they never get right with the Lord, they meet terrible ends. And then the worst happens. If you are mistakenly under the impression that you're a good person, which there are no good people. That's the story of the Bible. There are none righteous, no, not one. You're not a good person, okay? FYI, if you didn't know, you're not a good person. I don't care how much you give to charity. I don't care how much you don't do this or don't do this. I don't care how many people you take care of. You're not a good person. Anyone who doesn't go to hell only doesn't go to hell because God is your righteousness. I've pleaded my case. I've pleaded guilty. And God's righteousness has been submitted for my own, and because he's paid the sin debt for me. That's what Christianity is no one making the cut. But in that, some are actively working against the plans of God. And I would submit that some are so mixed up. They have so much paganism, so much mysticism, there's so much evil is very tricky, very subtle. Look at some of the past messages in this. The point is, Balaam was so muddled up in sorcery and witchcraft and pagan idolatrous practices. I really don't know if he truly thought he was wicked. But the way you know if something is right or wrong is very easily surmised is, how do they line up with the Word of God? Now, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. So it's a little bit different. But it's the same thing. Do you love God? Do you honor his word? Do you agree with God? Do you love what God loves and hate what God hates? Is your heart in tune with God? So what happens is people will say, well, I love people, and put one part of it and say, well, we're about love. Well, is it God's definition of love? Because if you look in this story, if you actually went really deep in it, there's a situation which very closely mimics our new movement. It's not new, but this new push towards LGBTQ #? That says anything that you feel is right as long as it feels good to you. And that's just not the case. It's just not. Anything that you can do, do it. And it's just because you can do a thing doesn't mean you should. It doesn't mean that there's not consequences to it. I'm not your judge. God is the judge. God is the master. I'm a servant. I don't have a pot to put you in. You do whatever you want to do. But there's consequences. I tell you what, let's take it out of that realm, because that's such a touchy subject that most people can't understand it, or refuse to anyway. Let's just take it to the realm of I can eat whatever I want to eat, but doctors will tell me I probably shouldn't have a Dorito and Twinkie staple. That shouldn't be my main meal every day, with soda chaser, with pop soda as a chaser. It's not good for me. It's not good for it's not good for my teeth. It's not good for the sugar levels and diabetes. It's not good for sodium. It's not good for getting positive nutrients. It's not good. There's nothing that's good that's going to come of it. No one would be rallying to fight that cause, to say how dare you tell him that's wrong? Now, you have the right to do it, but it's not good. I'm not going to pass legislation to say, you're not allowed to do this. You do whatever you're going to do, because it's a heart issue. It's not just a mind issue. It's a heart. It's a will. The innermost part of you has to say no more. And this is what is going on here in this. You see, you can't serve two masters. You can't do it. Look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19 through 24. Okay, check this out. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where three thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And there it is. Balaam, even though he was confused and befuddled, God had granted him great powers of being able to communicate with him. He seemed to have some type of command over the supernatural. It seemed like it really was real. That's not unheard of. But God allowed it. But what did he do with these gifts? Did he honor God? Did he increase people's knowledge of God? Did he help God's people? Did he make God did he in any way submit his heart to God? Did he kneel before the King of the universe? Did he honor the master? He's the master of the universe because he created it, because he owns it. He owns the patent to life. He's the master. He's the architect. He's the programmer of creation, of existence. And you would think, after Balaam had had direct revelation of God, had had a direct communication with God several times, understood supernatural realities, you would think he would submit it. But he didn't, did he? Well, how do you know? Because God didn't want him to go at all. Because God already knew he was going to do wickedness, because he wasn't God's. Did you notice how he used a couple of Christian buzzwords in the first part of it? He says, the Lord my God. He uses the proper name for God. So he basically, he tries to fake the funk. He tries to use, you know, we do that in our churches nowadays. We know how to say religious sounding words to make ourselves seem holy. We give ourselves religious titles to seem more holy than we are, like our relationship with God is right. That's part of the reason why God gave us a very clear outline of who should be in what roles and what their characteristics would be, and we just disregard that totally. God's given us laws and rules, but we just do what we want to do, and we just sprinkle a little bit of church dust on it, and we say it's all good. We really live in a world where we have totally thrown the Bible out and knowledge of the Bible and what it says and what it means in proper context, and we still try to call ourselves followers of the same Bible we refuse to honor. It really doesn't make sense. But sin doesn't make sense. That's the whole point. Why would Balaam keep doing his own thing after proof of God? I understand the guy who said, Lord, if it's really you, show me, teach me, talk to me, come to me. Balaam knew about the God of Israel because they had already destroyed Egypt and all their gods. Every god in Egypt, God directly confronted each god. That's why there are 10 plagues, to confront the 10 gods, false pagan deities of Egypt, to show them that there's only one God and that this God is powerful to save. So they came into that knowing. That's the reason why they called Balaam, because this God is not playing and his people are coming through here and he's going to wipe us out. He knew who God was. Then God goes further and shows him, comes to him objectively and subjectively in a way only he would know. He talks with him personally. And you know what? It's still not enough. I still want what I want. I'm going to serve my master. You know who Balaam's master was? Think about this. Who was Balaam serving? Balaam serves who most of us actually serve. We serve ourselves. Pride. You know what's amazing to me? It is absolutely amazing that in our day and age, pride is everywhere. Pride, it's Pride Month. Everything is pride, 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 and everybody is so happy about it. Do you realize, I don't want to be the person to have to tell you this, but it's my job. Pride is always condemned in the Bible. Always, always. Pride is not a good thing in the Bible. Look it up. It says pride goeth before a fall. Pride is always, uplifting yourself is always a negative in the Word of God. Always. It says that Satan's issue was pride. Because he said, I will and I will and I will and I'll lift myself up and I'll do this and I'll do that. Pride. In the garden, what Satan did, he tricked the woman into first doubting what the Word of God was and tricked her into all these things. And then what he does is he does the Jedi mind trick and he says, you see, God isn't really good. He's holding you back. Lift yourselves up. Become more. That's what pride is. Pride says, I do what I want to do because I'm trying to be all that I can be. It's not about serving God. God says, serving me? I don't think you understand. I own everything. I'll give you everything. I'll give you charge over everything. I'm raising you up. I created you to serve me. But in serving me, it's more than you could ever imagine. Think about that. Think about it. Take the religious and spiritual out of it. What if you were second in command to the richest person in the world? How would you be living? You think you'd be living in a shack? Oh, you can see it when it comes to money, huh? Think about it, though. Think about it. If you're not the CEO of the corporation, but let's just say you're the VP, how do you think you're going to be living? That's just on a financial, on a corporate level. But God says, you're my servant, and I'll raise you up past that to where you're going to be brothers with Christ. So now you're in the family. If I'm in the family of God, forget about money. Forget about it. I'm going to be with God forever, partying with Jesus. He's promised us every problem we've ever had, could ever face on this earth will not even be a concern in heaven, period. He's like, that's over. There are no issues in heaven, period. No, there's nothing, there is nothing of a negative nature in heaven, period. There's just nothing bad. And Balaam goes against the God of this universe. And you know what's amazing? It's so much worse because he had so much knowledge of God, because he had so much understanding, because he had so much ability, and he used it for his own selfish, evil, wicked gain, for money. He wanted more money. He wanted more fame. He wanted more of the world's goods. Oh, don't act like we don't live that way. Are you going to tell me we don't live that way? I'm talking about Christians too. Guess what, doggone it? You start talking money in a church, and that's where you're going to find a lot of problems. I tell my own son, I tell him, son, if you're going to be a man of God at whatever, wherever God places you, okay? Because you're a man of God because you're a Christian. You're the priest of your own household and your own home. You're going to be the leader of your family, and every man ought to be a man of God. And if you're going to be a man of God, let me tell you something. You're going to always have to watch out for two things, and that's money and women. If you look in this word of God, more men fell over women and money. And all of that still goes back to pride. Y'all, Balaam could have had it all. He could have been listed as one of the great prophets. I believe God would have raised him up to be one of the great prophets, just like he did Samuel, or just like he did Nathan, or just like he did some of these other, Isaiah, all these men of God, Elijah. But instead, you know what happened? He wanted what he wanted. And God made him famous for being, outside of Satan, probably one of the most wicked men ever recorded in scripture. And we can see the blueprint of what he did. We see how this movement of sexualizing, he wasn't just evil. He was working against the plan of God. Because as we said last week, if you actually read this entire story, it's in, like I said, he's in eight different books of the Bible. He's talked about so much, but it's in little pieces here and there. He calls the Baal-Peor incident. And when Israel, the Israelites, were in Moab, and what they did was they sent all the women in, and they had the women infiltrate their forces, not the army. And they caused the people of Israel to commit sin, sexual sin. It's funny because what he couldn't get accomplished through force, he used through deception. And what he did was he sent the freaks in. Hey, real life. He sent in the freaks. Hey, the women came in, and part of their religion was sexuality. It was a religious thing. So even in this day and age now, what we can learn from that is the LGBTQ movement, all these movements that say you can do whatever you want to do, do whatever you want to do. But as Christians, we have to understand this isn't really a legal thing. This is a spiritual, it's a religious issue. This is part of their religion. They don't understand it as that. This is their religion. If you do not acknowledge that God, Jesus Christ is God, and that what I'm doing is sin, if I'm living outside of biblical definitions of marriage, it's sin. And if you don't acknowledge that, you're not living according to God's standard and his word. And the fact that you don't acknowledge it means it's idolatry. It's pagan idolatry that's been mingled. You can't You can't do it. You can't mingle the two. And I know people who have issues with same-sex attraction, and they will tell you in a heartbeat, it is absolutely wrong, it's evil, and I don't know how to, I'm working with the Lord on coming out of this lifestyle. I know people who will tell you that I committed adultery and I'm absolutely wrong and I'm coming out of this lifestyle. I know people who will tell you I used to be a criminal and I used to be a thief, or I used to sell drugs, I used to take drugs. I know it's wrong. I've been in this lifestyle and I'm coming out of it in the name of Jesus. And then I know people who say, this isn't wrong. God says it's okay. And I will tell you, they do not know the Lord. It's that simple. Not even committing the action. It's where do you fall according to lining up with God's will. Balaam knew exactly what God said. He knew exactly what God wanted from him. He just didn't agree. So what he did was he played the game as long as he had to. But the instant he got a chance to do what he wanted to do, he did exactly what he wanted to do. But he did it with a religious veneer. And that's what I'm here to tell you is, who are you going to serve? God isn't about religion. Religion is just jumping through hoops. Relationship is honoring God in spirit and truth. Does your heart yearn and long for the things of God? Do you want to be righteous? Not that you meet the mark, but that you're striving for it every day. If you meet a real Christian, I'm going to tell you something. People who are really filled with the Spirit of God are so unimpressed with themselves. People who really know the Lord, they're like, I've been doing this Christian thing for 20 years now, and this is as far as I got? Lord, I need you. I'm a bum. And they're just so unimpressed with themselves because they see God. God is what they're looking at. And when they look at themselves, it's a pitiful mess. Other people look at them and say, wow, they're a man of God. They're a woman of God. Wow, they got it together. And you're thinking, oh, God, Lord, help. I need you. I'm so liable to act in a way that I don't want to act. That's going to bring you dishonor. I want what you want. I want to line up with you. If I could flip the switch and never sin again, I would. But that's not the case in this life. God said, one day I will recreate your bodies so sin will be no longer part of your DNA. I will take it away. I'll take away everything that is sinful. But until that day, you have work to do. And one of the greatest ways that you can give God glory is by showing the struggle. The fact that God creates such great masterpieces with such broken, worthless utensils shows God's glory. It shows how great God is. This doesn't show that I'm great. It shows God is great. As we close, old Balaam, you know what happens? You know what's really funny? Is Balaam goes to do what is evil. That's what he's doing. He's playing it off like he's not going to commit evil. But when he went, actually, when God came to him, the fact that he didn't fall on his face and just say, God, whatever you want, I'm done. I'm sorry, God just came to me and spoke to me. That wasn't amazing enough. So he goes and he's talking with the men and back and forth. He's talking with the men who come to him from the king, like, the same way he's talking to God, like they're just peers, and there's no sense of reverence for the supernatural, for the holy. There's no sense of awe. There's no sense of, it's weird. It's like he's just talking to regular people during this whole time, even though he uses religious words. What's funny is the donkey. It says it was a female donkey. So I wanted to say, when you don't got the sense God gave a jackass, but you know what's funny? It wasn't a jack. A jack is male. It was a female donkey. So I can't go there. But you know what? Balaam is leading the natural world and his servants into evil, where are you leading people to? Are you leading them to God? Are you leading them in the paths of righteousness, or are you leading them towards evil? Which you're only going to go in one of two directions, towards God or away from God. The mark of salvation is not that I become perfect and I walk on water every day. The mark of salvation is that I was going in one path, in one direction, and I've done a 180. And now I'm walking in a totally different direction. I'm not walking as fast as I want to walk. I'm not there yet. You'll never get there on this side. But the fact that you're on the journey is what the Christian life is. Are you on the journey? Are you going where God told you to go? Because God told Balaam to stay at home, but you see he's walking, don't you? He's going the direct opposite direction where God wants him to go. God allowed it. God allows all this mess because he's going to eventually come and clean up house. But he allows it for the time being. Guess what? Balaam was leading others into rebellion against God. And that's what he was going to do. Eventually, he would cause 24,000 Israelites to be killed because he led them into sexual revolution. Oh, you thought ours in today's day and age? Oh, you thought Woodstock was the first sexual revolution? Balaam's wasn't even the first sexual revolution. You did hear about Sodom and Gomorrah, didn't you? And these evil, wicked people will tell you. And I don't mean just regular wicked. Because most natural people understand Sodom and Gomorrah. Even if they think it's a fairy tale, they understand the premise of it. At least what the Bible claims, what they believe the Bible claims. But now there's this new thing that says, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of hospitality. Okay, sure. Sure, it's not even worth going into. If you believe that, you're a fool and you're lying to yourself. Okay, so what's funny is, and as we close, a donkey, even in our day and age, we're not an agricultural society much anymore. A donkey throughout the world and throughout the ages has been known for reliability, for strength, for loyalty. They have large ears, so they're very attentive to their surroundings, even in senses that we don't necessarily understand. Okay, they hear very well. They have a great sense of loyalty. They're actually very good animals to have in a herd. A donkey is actually a very loyal animal. Like, if you notice, donkey is in the Bible a lot of times. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Do you understand? The whole point, donkey represents a loyal, faithful, sturdy, strong, dependable animal. You know why in our day and age we think donkeys are stubborn? Because a donkey is a protector and is not, a donkey doesn't scare really easily and will fight and protect weaker animals. A lot of times they put a donkey in with sheep because a donkey hears the enemy, hears a predator, and will bray and will make noise and will even in some cases put up a fight. A donkey was a loyal and a very good asset. Anyone who had the means would have had a donkey. The same way how you'd have a car in today's day and age, you'd have a donkey. A donkey was a very, very good asset and worth quite a bit of money in their days. Now, I know you didn't know that because I didn't know that. I've been reading the Bible for years and I never knew that. The donkey. You see, what's really funny is the donkey has great memory, and that's why on this rocky, hilly terrain, you can't use a horse because a horse doesn't have the sure footing. The horse, if he gets scared, he's gone. He's throwing you off. He's out of there. But not the donkey. The donkey stands still and sees where the danger's coming from, and he's not going to move. That's why he gets the reputation for being stubborn. Because the donkey, his natural instinct is to do what's right. is to do what's makes the most sense. That's his natural programming from the Lord. It's his instinct. He's been programmed that way. And you know what's funny? He's highly intelligent, highly personable, highly rational, and very intelligent, and he's a protector. That's what the donkey is. Now, in this case, it was a female. And you know what's funny? The donkey is protecting Balaam. And Balaam, you know what Balaam has for the donkey? Nothing but abuse, nothing but curses, nothing but evil. And it's funny because think about this. Despite all of Balaam's intellect, he wasn't wise. And despite all of this donkey's lack of intelligence, the donkey was wiser than the person who was rebelling against God. The natural world, just doing what it was created to do, is logical. It makes sense. It's orderly. It's very much, it works. And I'm going to tell you just like this, and I don't care if you're mad about it. Listen, all these people talking about the LGBTQ agenda and all this, listen, if there is no God, and there's no God to equate into this, nature itself tells you anything that cannot reproduce is unnatural. If all of this is just undirected, if you cannot reproduce, it can't be natural. Where are the scientists that say that? Where are the scientists that say about all of the effects that it has on your, you know, we're not even going to get into that. The whole point is, this donkey, who was just a donkey, without at this time any supernatural abilities, Saul, what it says is, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand, it turned off the road into the field. Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. The donkey is protecting the fool. And what is he getting for it? He's getting beat for it. He's protecting his master because he's honoring the master. Who are you going to serve in these last days? Who are you going to serve? You're only going to serve one or two masters. Because he served the master, he was naturally protecting everything else. He was naturally doing right. This dumb beast was already, by doing what he was naturally created to do, was already more in line with God than this man with supernatural abilities, with all this fame, wealth, with all this renown, with all this stuff. Y'all, do what God said do, regardless of the consequences. Guess what? You're going to get some blows for it. They're going to try to beat you over the head for being a Christian in this day and age. They're going to try to treat you bad because of it. We were at the Fashion Mall Keystone yesterday, and I usually have on a God shirt. I love it. I love my Jesus t-shirts. The man kicked me out of the store and acted extremely rude, called the police on us. As if I was some young kid cutting up in the store. You think it's coming to this country, y'all? It's coming to this country. You better understand, you are going to get abused for serving God. And you see three different incidents of him getting beat in an increasing fashion. And finally, he just said, I can't go any further. Between me and God, I've gone as far as I'm going. I don't care what you do. This is as far as I go, and that's it. And he laid down under Balaam. And Balaam cursed him out. We're going to see next week. We're going to see what else happens in this story. But let me tell you, the donkey had more supernatural insight than the supposed fake man of God. These fakesters out here nowadays with their revolutions and their devious schemes and plots. I'm not talking about even the average guy. I'm talking about the one who would teach you how to dishonor God and try to mingle sexual perversion and godly worship. Talking about you can be a homosexual pastor. What? That's so bizarre. What are you talking about? It's ridiculous, but they will tell you it's perfectly fine. Hey, whatever, do what you do. I'll just be old donkey. The donkey proved to be wiser, just doing his natural thing, using his natural instincts and abilities, honoring God. He saw God in the proper place, understood God's intent, and he wasn't going there. He feared God when the supposed man of God didn't. The donkey was more honest than his lion tail Balaam was. Okay. Balaam had all this power and authority, but no wisdom, no insight, no regard for the God of the universe. The donkey, when faced with circumstances, he chose to endure the wrath of man versus the wrath of God. That's a pretty wise decision. You better get ready for it if you are a Christian. And if you're not, don't be a fool your whole life. You better seek God's face now while you have the chance. And Balaam, he wanted man's approval. He wanted the things of God. He wanted the things of this world more than the things of God. His pride. He had so much pride. Oh, it's Pride Month, y'all. He had so much of it. He didn't care what God had to say about it. And he'll dishonor God. And he really thought he was tricking God like God didn't know that he's going through the motions. This fool would try to deceive God and thought he was going to get away with it. What master do you serve? Will you honor the master? Your actions will show. Lord Jesus, help us to honor you in spirit and in truth according to your word. Lord, help people to see the truth in this. Help them to embrace the truth, Lord. Help them to buy the truth and sell it not, God. Help them to be about your business, Lord. Send your spirit. Revive a dead man right now, Lord. Protect someone who's in error, God. Show them the truth. Help them to embrace it, Lord. God, I spent my life, Lord, learning it more and more and more. God, I've been wrong so many times, but you just keep on showing me more and more truth, God. You keep refining this. You keep raising me up. You keep protecting me, God. I see you. Lord, help us. Help me to lead others in promoting the things of God. First off, God, help us to be saved from the wrath, God. Help us to be Christians, God. Help us to be part of your family, Lord. Help us to partake in your glory, Lord. And then, Lord, once we've been saved, God, help us to look like you, to reflect you better. Shine us up, polish us up so we can reflect your glory onto others. We love you. We honor you. Continue to protect us and guide us and raise us up for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.